Mic check. Mic check.
Us on a winning edition of the recap show for MCM Radio. I am your host, Brandon, and I got August West on the line. August, how good does it feel to come away with a victory?
I am on cloud nine, man. This is the first time since, I think, 2011 that we've won a Week 2 game, and this is the first time we've won a game since early December of last year. In that game, we weren't that happy about winning against the Jaguars because we were shooting for the number one pick. So it's been a long time since I've felt this good about a Titans win. How are you feeling about it, brother?
Oh, great. Great. Happy to have that one over. There was a lot of that game that I was really excited about and happy to see. But it was a tough watch with all the penalties. But check this out. Last week, we scored 16 points. But we gave the other team 14 freebies. This week we score 16 points and win, and we only gave them 2 free points. So I'll take that as improvement, buddy.
Yeah, man, the fact that the Titans gave up 16 points in the first 5 quarters of this season, and they're 1-1, I think we can all kind of breathe a sigh of relief. About what went on. I mean, it was an ugly game. We'll get into obviously the almost record amount of penalties that were called. But you know what? The Titans came away with a win. They came away with a win against a very good team. And I think Titans fans everywhere should be super excited about that.
Oh, yeah. We just beat a team that beat the Colts last week, and we held them to 15 points. When they got 39 on our division rival, as of the time of us recording this at 7 p.m. Eastern Sunday night for me, Jaguars are getting the crap kicked out of them, and Indianapolis is down to Denver and Houston won. But as at 1-1, August, we're right in the thick of this thing, and that's great. I know me, you, and Dan all were coming in around the 6 wins, but. It'll just be nice to have a month, 2 months of some meaningful football. And I'm telling you, they learn from this and grow from this. You know, we could have 16 weeks, 17 weeks of meaningful football this season, which will be fantastic. That's really what we need, is to see the growth in our young team and our young quarterback, who had kind of an up-and-down game, but when it came to it, he led us to a win. So, August, we're going to break it down into the 3 sections, offense, defense, special teams. So let's me and you talk about the offense a little bit. Let's talk about Mariota, 25 for 33, 238 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. But one of those touchdowns was a game winner on a 4th down play to Andre Johnson. So talk about that.
Yeah, you know, and we'll start out with the one interception that Mariota threw. I mean, it was a vicious underthrow. It was a bad read. He had guys underneath who were open. However, when you throw a bomb like that and it gets picked off, it's essentially the same thing as a punt. Okay, it would have been obviously much better to come out with points on that drive. But I would way rather him throw interceptions 35, 40 yards downfield then throw an interception 3 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage that gets returned the other way for 6 points, which is what we saw last week. Overall, you know, he had to run for his life a couple of different times in the first half. The pass protection was terrible. That Detroit Lions defensive line is a lot better than most people give it credit for. Their front 7 generally is better than most people realize. But the fact that they were able to go into the locker room at halftime, make the adjustments, and he came out and had a much better pocket, much cleaner pocket, had time to make multiple reads. A couple of his third down passes that ended up at first down, he was hitting his second or third guy. You know, he was scanning the entire field. He wasn't just making half-field reads. And then that final drive, he was money every single time they asked him to drop back and throw the ball. And we have not seen that in a long time. You know, they're physically completely different, and their strengths are very different. But that reminded me of a Steve McNair performance. Struggled a little bit at the beginning, but when you needed him to be a big boy, he was a big boy.
Well, when you have a winner back there, it's one of those things where if you let us hang around, as ugly as it was, hang around, and all of a sudden we're sneaking away with a win. And you know, it really was, like you were saying, the tale of two halves. We go into halftime down 12-3, and then they score 3 more points in the second half, and we score 13 in the fourth quarter to put us over by a point. So I liked it. You know, the play, the interception, you're right. I don't think that ball had a chance of getting caught, what he threw to, but you got to take the good with the bad. And I really do think that Glover Quinn, the Lions safety, made a pretty good play on the
Titan
ball.
Killer.
But that was,
he's a Titan
yeah.
killer. He's the guy who got
yeah.
3 picks on Russie Smith.
Right. But I forgot about that, Auger. That's exactly right. But a couple shots down the field. And, you know, I think we got away with one getting a first down earlier on there on Marcus's run. I think we got a favorable spot. So we were kind of playing with house money when he took that shot. Otherwise, we would have been punting a couple plays before that anyway. So would I rather have not thrown the pick? Absolutely. But it didn't. We still won, and I like seeing them throw down the field a little bit. And how about the touchdown, the long touchdown pass to Delaney? That was a thing of beauty.
Dude, this game, you know, as much as I complained last week about the fact that they got away from what they do well, they really just made a couple of tweaks to the game plan, and this is exactly what this offense is supposed to look like. They pounded the ball. If you count DeMarco Murray's receptions as rushing plays, like involving the running backs, we were almost 50-50 in terms of runs and passes. They also really made a focus on getting Delaney Walker involved, realizing that that makes everything easier for the wide receivers because Delaney Walker mm-hmm. is such a threat. Even though he had maybe the worst juke I've ever seen in my entire life on that screenplay, I think I tweeted out that it looked like it reminded me of Peyton Manning. You remember the famous, like, juke he tried to throw? And then when he was running? I mean, yeah, he looked stiff as sin. But Delaney Walker got the job done. Our receivers absolutely got the job done. And, you know, one of the things that I think I would like to know your opinion on, the safety that we had was maybe one of the worst performances by a side of an offensive line I think I've ever seen. Chance Warmack and Jack Conklin both got annihilated on it. They struggled mightily through the entire first half. However, second half, they came out and absolutely held their own.
With the safety, I thought Mariani got hit. They threw a flag. I thought they were going to get the Lions for interfering with the fair catch. Instead, it's a holding. Puts us on, like, the 3-yard line, you know. And during the postgame quotes, August, I'm not sure if you saw that, Mularkey took the blame for – the safety, said he changed the play at the last minute because it looked like they went into a pass set, and that's kind of what screwed up. But I also think that our coach is a guy that's going to fall on the sword for his players, even if they did just get their asses beat, you know. So either
and
way, that was unacceptable.
And because they played so much better the second half, I think he feels more comfortable being like, hey, that was on me, because they clearly listened to whatever – him and the offensive line staff was saying at halftime.
Well, the offensive line, I thought, really got whooped the first half and then really held up when it counted. And I think part of that, August, too, is just a battle of attrition. The Titans are out there hitting people and being physical and their smash mouth mentality. There's a lot of teams after the bite, or a lot of players, I mean, on the Vikings that missed some practice after playing this last week, and the Lions were dropping guys left and right. So it was kind of one of – not that we're ever wishing for injuries, but they got depleted, and we just kept leaning on them and leaning on them, and We came away with it, you know. It was, but I thought Conklin started to redeem himself, and Chance, I thought, had a pretty tough day. But I don't think Lawan got called for a penalty. Spain has been adequate at the left guard. At least I didn't see him stand out in any good or bad.
No, he was good.
And
he was good.
And I think a lot of it is can be attributed to Russ Grimm, our offensive line coach, and then we have really spoke highly of Ben Jones and getting a center that's capable and capable of making the line plays. And once we get a little bit more of a passing attack, how big will getting Kendall Wright back be? You know, if we're not dealing with eight in the box like we were all day, I think we're gonna really start seeing the running game lean on other teams with this offensive line being able to really impose their will. And this is just the second game they've played at that, you know, unit of five, August. So,
yeah,
I think they may be a little ahead of schedule there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. I'm curious about Kendall when he's healthy. Looks like maybe he's going to be healthy next week and comes back. I don't think they're going to just, you know, insert him as one of the top three wide receivers on this team. I think he's going to be more in maybe like we saw Justin Hunter last year. Like, he's going to get his shots, and he's going to have to come through. If he has a couple
right.
of drops, or if he makes it, you know, a couple of bad plays, you're going to see him buried in the depth chart. You know, one of the other things that really, really jumped out to me was the consistency of the wide receiving group overall. There were very few plays where, you know, Mariota hit him on the spot and they dropped passes, and that is so crucial for this offense. As we saw today, we're not going to make our money with big plays. This is the exact opposite almost of the Lions offense, which is, you know, Matthew Stafford, Eric Ebron, Anquan Boldin, Golden Tate, those shifty fast running backs where they get big chunks at certain points. And then they also
yeah.
have a bunch of three and outs. We got to have those 7-minute drives, you know, where we have to execute 15, 16 plays in a row. And the fact
right.
that they're able to do that, and they were able to do that last week with so much, a stunning amount of motion before the snap happens. I mean, that's like a ballet that everybody has to be on the exact same page. Otherwise, you end up with a buttload of penalties as far as, you know, two guys moving at the same time, guys not lining up in the right place. That's not something you see very often in the NFL these days. And it's impressive to me that a second-year quarterback and a rookie running back and a running back who's his first year in this system, wide receivers their first year in this system, they're able to execute it pretty regularly. You saw a couple times where there were miscommunications and Mariota was, you know, screaming at Ben Jones to snap the ball or he had to line up guys in different spots. It's a pretty complex offense considering that everybody thought we were going to look like some sort of 1930s leatherheads.
Yeah, it's been much more – much more modern,
exotic,
I guess,
if you will.
Yeah. Well, exotic. Yeah. Erotic. But they've done well with the balance and other than just, you know, getting the ball down the field. And I think that's going to be an element that they have to figure out. But Marcus is, he makes quick decisions, good timing. You know, there was a couple drops, like Tajay dropped the ball that, I believe it was on third down. That was a really well-placed pass. He did have the DB on him, and I would really like to see him make
that. Yeah, the DB broke that one up. I mean, yeah, I remember the exact play you're talking about. The DB broke that one up. Sometimes that's
yeah.
going to happen. But, I mean, Mariota is such a machine within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage that I really feel like they're doing a good job taking advantage of that.
Well, and for as much as I was cussing my TV last week when Andre Johnson dropped a wide-open touchdown, how he came up with the game winner on fourth down is beyond me.
Yeah.
I
in triple coverage.
I mean, yeah. I think what it was is Marcus knew if it gets picked, oh, well, if I'm throwing it to the Hall of Fame candidate. You know what I'm saying? It's fourth down. I got to go for it. I figured it was either going to be him or Delaney to get it. And I'm sure I don't remember where Delaney was on the play, but I'm sure they had guys all over him, and that ball just made it through there somehow.
Dude, two things on that. Number one, can we all agree DGV doesn't catch that ball?
Okay. Oh, I haven't even I didn't think about him or Hunter all game, so I'm not even worried about that.
And the second thing is, it's a I didn't really entirely think about it. I kind of hinted around it when I was talking about the role that Andre Johnson is going to play on this team. You know, like it's not like he's a 1-2-3-4 receiver. He's a situational receiver, possession guy, first downs, you know, consistent. You're going to be able to get it. However, I didn't quite add to that that he's a prime red zone, like touchdown guy. You know, like he's so physical. He's so smart with how he can – you know, manipulate defensive backs, that sort of stuff. He has to be. I guarantee you the reason that he stuck on this roster was because they knew, well, we get down inside the red zone and everything's tight and it's all about execution and consistency, that's where he can still be an all-pro level guy, even if he's not the guy who will get you 80-yard, you know, 50-yard bombs.
Right. I mean, it was his only catch. You know, he saw the field
and
some,
it was
I think
the
even
the biggest catch.
Right, right, and that's what he's here for. What is more important to us right now than our quarterback's growth? You know, that's really what it is. If we want to eventually end up being a perennial playoff team and contender, then Marcus has to keep improving. And you don't want him getting hit, and you don't want him throwing to sorry guys that aren't going to be where they're supposed to and catch the ball. You got a guy that comes up with a catch in a clutch situation, I think it just boosts the whole offense, the whole team, August, and fans and everybody. I mean, think about it. That one catch won us the game, you know. And then the flip side we see, kind of like what we were talking about with some of the miscues, which we're still going to have. Still a young team with a lot of new moving parts. But Marcus runs into Murray. Go ahead.
They have to execute so many things because we're not a deep threat. You know, we don't have a Matthew Stafford, Jay Cutler, rocket cannon arm. I mean, you saw it on the interception that was like such a vicious underthrow that I can't remember if it was Matthews or Sharp who was the target. I mean, he stopped and the ball still didn't get to where he could possibly catch it. Mariota is not great on the deep ball, but if you can be a machine and if you can be efficient with your running game and with your short passing game and have good play calling and all that sort of stuff, you can be very productive. And I think you'll see this team be more productive as the season goes on because they do so many different things. But you have to not make mistakes. That's the key to it. You know, penalties, drop passes, all those sort of things. If you're only getting, you know, 7 or 8 yards a throw and you're only getting four carries or 4 yards per carry, you have to be able to do it right every single time. That's very hard in this league. But I think they have a chance to do it really well, and it fits what Mariota does.
Yeah, exactly. How'd you feel about the rushing game? I'll read a couple stats here. Murray, 12 attempts, 89 yards with a long of 67. And that was nice to see. We started virtually every drive at like our own 8, and I was hoping he'd take that one all the way, August. I really was. Henry, 9 attempts for 40 yards with a long of 9. I think that they're when they see him in there, they're really, really loading up on the run for Henry, and he still grinds out those tough yards. What was your impressions on there?
DeMarco Murray is a guy who. It's not like he's Chris Johnson, like a guy who only gets what the offensive line blocks for him. You know, he can still make guys miss. He can still, you know, push through weak tackles, that sort of thing. However, Derrick Henry is the real deal. I mean, I think you saw it on one of his second or third down carries where he got stopped. Basically, if you go back and look at it, the line of scrimmage, the blue line, was where he got stopped and they, you know, grabbed him by his ankles and he fell forward for like 3 more yards. He is the far more efficient running back. He danced a little bit too much and went a little bit side to side a little too much for me, but, you know, I think they could work on that with him. DeMarco Murray is the guy who's more likely to really hit the big play. However, the thing that I love is they're both really, really good receivers. You know, when you go back and look at 2 years ago when DeMarco Murray had 1,800 yards, he had another 400 yards as a receiver. The guy can catch passes. And they're not using them like some of the running backs that we've seen in the past for the Titans, where, you know, Chris Johnson would always do a little kind of flare route, come towards the middle, and then sit there with his feet planted, catch the ball, and somebody would just clobber him. They're using them actually as wide receivers with the ability to get out into the flats, run those flare routes, you know, do that sort of stuff, and it's effective. So it's almost kind of the best of both worlds in that you're not sacrificing any particular part of the offense by bringing either running back in. You know, if that makes sense. Like, they're both capable receivers. They're both capable power runners. And they're both guys who, if they get in the open field, can really make something happen.
And their carries were really close to each other, 9 and 12, you know, with DeMarco Murray getting the 12. And like you said, he had 7 receptions, 56 yards receiving with a long of 22. And that was a big 22 that he caught.
Oh,
so I think that was
22.
Yeah. That was
that was a wide receiver route. I mean, he lined up wide. He ran up through the seam. Like, that wasn't a running back route. That was a wide receiver route. Loved seeing that, dude. That's going to terrify defensive coordinators when they look at that on film.
Yeah, and I think with the field position we are starting at August, that really puts a lot of stress on the offense. So, and they load up, especially when we're down at the 5 and 6. They're expecting a run to try to give you a little breathing room. So, there was a lot of carries there that they made a little something out of really nothing. You know?
Yeah. All right. That's cool. We talked about the offense a bunch. We got to talk about this defense. They are going to be the unsung hero of this game.
Oh, they hung in there. Yeah, that was with it felt there for a while. There was a flag on every play. Some would go against us, some would go in our favor, but the defense hung in there and held a very potent Lions offense to 15 points. And how about Parrish Cox, who had been picked on all game, comes up with the interception to seal the deal for us?
Yeah, Parrish Cox got trucked by Matthew Stafford.
I know.
I'm sure they're going to have so much fun with that film in the defensive room over the course of this week. However, and we're going to talk about Parrish Cox here in a second. I have to say, probably the breakout player of this game, and I hope that this is like a new level that he's at. Damian Stafford was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he cleaned up other guys' tackles. He brought the wood. When Parrish Cox got knocked down, Damian Stafford is the one who came in and just clobbered Matthew Stafford. It was some classic Stafford-on-Stafford violence. He was all over the place against the pass and against the run. He seems like an absolutely signature kind of strong safety. Really reminded me in this game of Blaine Bishop.
He really showed up today where I thought Searcy was pretty quiet. I don't remember him making any flash plays, but Stafford, and didn't it feel like, I don't know what the coaches said to the defense at halftime, but all of a sudden we were able to start bringing guys down and tackling and getting sacked when I felt like every running play there was a missed tackle. It felt like we missed a lot of tackles in the first half, August.
Yeah, look, this defense lived dangerously for a lot of this game. However, you can't underestimate the fact that really, it's blowing my mind because the Titans blitzed so much last season. They're not blitzing hardly at all so far over these first two games. But over the, during the course of the second half, they were able to finally convert those times when they would get so close to hitting somebody, so close to breaking up something in the backfield to create tackles for loss. All of a sudden, you know, Dodd had a sack. Who were some of the other guys?
Had two. Arakpo had two.
Yeah,
sacks.
Yeah. Like,
he showed up.
Arakpo
once.
Had two. I mean, like, and all through the first half, they were making Matthew Stafford move off his spot. You know, they were giving pressure and they were getting hits, but they couldn't just seal the deal. And finally, they were able to do it. And then all of a sudden, the secondary starts playing better, shockingly.
Well, on that, Kevin Dodd got a hands to the face penalty that was pretty ticky tacky. We can go on and on about how the penalties were called in this game.
Oh.
So beyond that, but
oh,
I saw two guys not being able to block that kid on that play.
Yeah.
They called him for a penalty. And then after that, I really think it opened up things for Arakpo because I think they were worried about our rookie.
Yeah, and that was the thing. That first hands to the face, or, you know, illegal use of hands that Dodd got called for, Brian Arakpo almost got his head completely ripped around. I mean, if you go back and look at it, the left tackle had Arakpo by the hands of the face the entire time. It infuriated me that they weren't at least offsetting penalties or anything like that. But yes, Kevin Dodd absolutely showed you why we took him when we did. The fact that the defense in the second half, after making some adjustments, was able to apply so much pressure and disrupt and played so angry. Like, they started to do it towards the end of the first half, and I tweeted out that, like, I think really this defense is pissed about how many points the offense is giving up without them even being able to go out on the field. Carl Kluge played like an absolute boss. Damian Stafford played like a boss. You know, there was tight coverage all through it, but the pass rush with Arakpo and with Dodd and then Carl Kluge and a couple of the other guys, Angelo Blackson had a brilliant tackle for loss in the backfield on a run play.
Yeah.
They really looked like the defense that we hope they're going to be. I mean, they played like – you have to remember all the stats they were throwing out at the beginning of the broadcast about how great this offense has been since Jim Bob Cooter, former UT backup quarterback, took over as offensive coordinator. They've been one of the best offenses in the NFL, and we crushed them in the second half. Had no business doing it. Missing Derek Morgan, missing a couple other guys who were like really critical players on this defense, and we crushed them the second half. We made it so that the offense had a chance to come back. They didn't have to have huge plays. They didn't have to get outside of what they want to do. Granted, they gave up a couple third and longs. You know, that's unfortunate, but they did their job.
They absolutely did. And, I mean, they held them to 3 points coming out of the second half. You know, and the two of their points was a safety. You know, we've still only allowed one touchdown, our defense, in two games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So – I know not all of it was pretty, and every now and again, like that Eric Ebron converting 3rd and 19 when I thought the game was slipping away from us on that final drive, you know.
Yeah.
The offense is paid to play, too. And, you know, that guy made, like, some crazy one-handed behind-his-back catch. So there was some of that. But what we had – and we've discussed it on the show, August. We have our concerns about the coaching staff. So what can they do coming out of halftime? The good coaching staffs make adjustments, and we did. And we our adjustment and our better play in the second half won us this game, a game that we were away on, that we were not favored to win. We were the underdogs by 6 points. That was the line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And you know what? Even going in, I didn't feel confident we were going to win. You know, it was just one of those where, like, well, you know, we're still growing, but then after the Lions, you know, like you said, they're pumping up that offense. He's thrown 25 touchdowns and only 2 picks because, you know, Jim Bob Cooter sprinkles some magic Cooter dust on the offense or something, and we showed him how Dick LeBeau's defense is gonna react to that. So I love it. LeBeau goes back to not letting the Lions beat him. I think there was a stat where as a coach or defensive coordinator or whatever, he'd never let him beat him, And maybe when he was back when he was like a DB's coach or whatever, I think the Lions had won once or twice. So he's like now 18-2 as a coach against the Lions over the years. So that was really nice to see.
And talk about, we'll just isolate for a second, Parrish Cox. You know,
okay.
We talked about he gave up some passes. He got trucked by Matthew Stafford. However, he came up so big with that interception there at the end of the game. That, in all honesty, wasn't – okay, so that was the biggest play of the game. Of course, the defense shuts it down. We get to have the victory formation, the best play in any playbook. The smartest play that happened the entire game was Parrish Cox mauling. I can't remember who the Lions wide receiver was. For a pass, for a PI penalty in the end zone. He knew he was beat. He knew it was going to be 6 points, and he just mauled the guy. That put them down on the 1 yard line, and then all the Lions penalties backed them up, and we only got a field goal. Or
exactly.
We only had to give up a field goal. If you are beat,
they followed it up
you
with
know it's going
two
to be
holdings.
6 points, just maul the guy. It doesn't matter.
Because you never know if the offense is going to hold the next play or hold again. And all of a sudden, it's, you know, second and goal
from
the 22.
Give yourself another chance. Give yourself another chance. That was a savvy veteran move. And it ended up, you look at the final score, it ended up being a game-changing play.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, because they – identified Parrish Cox as who they wanted to throw to or, you know, throw against. And he was hanging in there. But I think you got to credit McCourty, who really played well. He did have he did give up a couple passes, but he was really in good position. You know, I felt like throw at him that much. Seemed like he was only on the screen 3 or 4 times all game. But obviously they were going after Parrish Cox. He took a couple penalties. One of the penalty you were talking about when he just, you know, grabbed the dude by the waist and took him down in the end zone, that's a good penalty. But he did have another penalty on him where it probably shouldn't have been called, but they just were going after him. And I'm sure, I don't know if Peacock's identified it or if the coaches pulled him aside and said they've been throwing at you all game. There's no reason to think they're not going to be throwing your way on what they're trying to put together, a game-winning drive. And put him in position to get that interception because it was painfully obvious what they were trying to do, and Stafford just threw it right to our guy. Titans win. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, though, August, and it was just an adjustment where he made sure he was in that throwing lane and won the game for us.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that the defense shut it down, you know, especially. The fact that they were able to come back after giving up that really long first down to Ebron on that crazy catch, we've seen Titans teams collapse and you know, just sort of say, oh, here we go, same old Titans. That's what everybody said last week, same old Titans. No.
Yeah.
They bucked up, and Parrish Cox, after having such a horrible game. I mean, like, if he doesn't come up with that interception, most people wouldn't have realized how good of a play that was in the end zone. You know, he had the busted tackle on Melvin Gordon Jr. He had a couple of bad coverages that he gave up, but it didn't result in points. And that's what it comes down to. No matter how frustrated you might get looking at a defense as it's going on, you also have to be able to bring your head above water and realize that, like you said earlier, this team has only given up one touchdown on defense. Against two, you know, I mean, they shut down Adrian Peterson, and they were able to batter Stafford. What did you think about the Jarrell Casey, you know, like possible dirty hit? Do you think
Bumble?
He's going to get fined?
Oh, you know, I don't think he will get fined because it was one of those. What they're trying to avoid is when the guys like, and you've seen it where he was just kind of crawling and wrapped them up. And I know it looked like it dinged him up, and Casey's such a big guy. But what they're trying to get is the guys that lunge, You know what I'm saying? Or just kind of pop up and dive at the guy and hit him low. The Lions' offensive line took Jarrell to the ground, and he was just crawling after him. So I don't know if it is when you're dealing with quarterbacks, Augie. I think they're looking to find guys anyway, so he might get fined and have to appeal it. But the fact that there wasn't a penalty on the play probably bodes well for him. You know,
And the fact that Stafford broke off that, like, about a 17-yard run a couple of plays later. Dude, you weren't hurt. You were just trying to get a foul.
Yeah, exactly. Savvy move, though. Stafford's starting to put it together in year six or seven or wherever he's at. And it showed up. That was a good offense we played, August. It really was. But I really – talking about our defense, this is a completely different type of offense that – we played last week. We had an entirely different game plan, and we held them to the touchdown and then the field goals. So I really like it. I still think that I think we're probably still drafting corner in round one, but
no doubt
we're hanging in there. You know, we really are. We got some feisty guys, and I think they'll get better. You know, and imagine we get Morgan back, and then if our offense, like, time of possession was almost even. We've won both time of possession in both our games, but only by, like, a minute. Like, this one was 30 minutes and 51 seconds to their 29:09. It seemed like the game lasted forever, though. It had to be close to 4 hours with all those penalties being called. But once our offense cuts out some of the mistakes, I really feel like the defense is going to get better. And they're still kind of gelling, too. You know, we got several new guys starting. And, did Avery Williamson come back in and play, or did he not finish the game? And I hadn't found anything on what his status was.
I'm so glad you reminded me of that. Yes. Avery Williamson left the game with an injury to his knuckle.
Oh, geez.
You can guess where I'm going with this. He came back into the game. They added some padding underneath his glove and on top of his glove. Delanie Walker, I'm pretty sure, was not too worried about whether or not – there's no way that Avery Williamson would be able to sit down on the sidelines and be like, yeah, my knuckles hurt, and look Delanie Williams in the eye.
Right. I've seen that Delanie Walker's got a radio show now, so I'm waiting for us to get in there and get the scoop on his knuckle.
If he'll give it up, man, he's been pretty tight-lipped about how that happened.
I know it.
You know,
I know we're going to have
you got to print the lesson.
Well, honestly, I was worried that something happened with Avery's neck. That play and injury where he was down looked bad, you know. So it's crazy that it was just the knuckle. But I just don't want any more injuries to our defense. I want to get Morgan back, and kind of going back to the Kendall Wright thing, August, I think we can probably expect him next week, right? He was kind of practicing a little bit, and they didn't rule him out till late this week. And my thought process on this is if they felt like it was going to be close to 6 weeks, they would have just put him on the PUP. So it would have to be that they feel like it's probably play by week four, right? I mean, otherwise you'd put him on the PUP and have a roster spot open up for 6 weeks.
Yeah, the update and the rationale that I heard was that they basically want him to go through three healthy practices, because when you're talking about that sort of soft tissue injury, you know, it's all about how you recover from it. So
right.
As soon as he can go, and I think he went through two and then had to get some more treatments and that sort of stuff this week. If he can, you know, practice at full speed three times this next week, then he'll be back in there. However, because of the nature of the injury and because of, I think, in all honesty, the confidence they have in Rashard Matthews, Tajay Sharp, and Andre Johnson and Delanie Walker, they'll sort of ease him back into it.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect. Even if he's active next week, I mean, look for him to probably get 15 snaps or something like that, maybe get three or four targets, and they're going to see what he does with it. and then see how he, you know, recovers from it on Monday and Tuesday.
Let's real quick talk a little bit about special teams. We missed a field goal. Mariani put one on the ground, but it rolled outside. But, and maybe this is more credit to our offense, we only punted three times this game, which is really pretty good.
And they did a great job downing that last punt at the 1 yard line.
Yes.
Mariani's
fumble. I feel like it's a mixed bag with them.
Mariani's fumble, I know, freaked everybody out, but if you actually watch the replay, his knee was down. So even if the Lions had recovered it, or, you know, anything like that, that was not going to be a turnover. And in all honesty, he has been very effective in terms of, you know, making the right decision. I mean, yeah, he's not a game breaker, but he's not a deficit. And, you know, he's not somebody that you're not sure what's going to happen every time it comes. And that's what this team needs. Once again, he's efficient. He's an efficient kick and punt returner.
I still think our coverage is a little suspect. And if you noticed, the Lions were doing what a lot of teams are this year with the rule change for kickoff, where it's at the 25 for a touchback. They were pooching it and making us return it, and we weren't. I don't think we ever got it past the 25. Of course, we all kept getting penalties and stuff and ended up starting at our own 10 and 9. But we were the opposite. I just felt like they told Succop, just make him touch it back. You know, he was kicking it out of the back of the end zone every time.
Look, I'm sorry, but that's what smart teams should do. I know there's coaches that want to be cute and say, like, oh, well, you know, I have so much confidence in my coverage team that I think we could stop them before the 25-yard line. You're not going to benefit yourself more than, what, 5 yards, maybe 8 yards sometimes, as opposed to giving up a long return and the effect that that has on your momentum and the way that can change a game. I still don't understand why every coach isn't doing what, you're right, they're telling Ryan Succop to do, boot it out of the back of the end zone. Don't even give them a chance to make something big happen, because we saw last week, you know, one of the few returns that they were able to have out of the end zone, Cordarrell Patterson, I think it was, broke it for, you know, like 45 yards. And you know, it really hurt us in terms of momentum.
Oh, it swung the game. You know, it really did. That's the beauty of the return game is – it, when we finally tackled Patterson, they were in field goal range. All they had to do is not turn it over. You know, that I like watching. I really kind of feel like they're just trying to kind of protect the players too, because there's safety issues on those. So I honestly think I'm leaning more towards your thought is go ahead, kick it out of the end zone. Your defense knows they have to protect 75 yards. Or what have you, and not send your guys out there.
It's 5 yards. Like, how much, if you really think 5 yards on special teams is going to swing it either way, then you don't trust the other, what, like 35 guys on your team who don't play special teams.
Right. Well, there's a lot of analytics, though. They got all the math to that, August, where if you start a drive at the 25 as opposed to the 20, it's probably worth an extra half a point or something. That adds up. We've just won by a point.
I've seen them, but they're a half a point over the course of the season. And NFL coaches make so many dumb decisions that result in a lot more than a half a point over the course of the season.
Absolutely. I felt like our coaches today were pretty clean in that department. Any boneheaded calls that stick out to you?
No. In all of the mistakes that happened on offense and on defense were even Paris Cox, you know, him busting, him letting go of that tackle, and Melvin Gordon Jr., you know, running for a first down. Those are things that, like, it reminded me of what I've said over and over and over again over the past 6-7 months. He put Paris Cox in the exact right position. You know what? It was a short pass. You were playing a little off, so you get to just gun this dude. I mean, you need to, like, sprint at him and take him down. If you can't make that tackle, That is not on Dick LeBeau. That is on you.
Right.
And I love the fact that, you know, it's really weird to me that we blitzed so much last year. Yeah, as I said earlier. And we have not been blitzing very much over the first two games of the season. But when they did decide to blitz in the second half and that sort of stuff, the Lions clearly had no idea what was coming at them, had no idea what to do with it. And our front three and front four, depending on what front they put out there, are so good at those stunts and those twists, you know, making things happen even when everybody else drops back in coverage. You're really seeing these guys buy into that system.
And aren't we starting to look like a bigger team? I know that sounds kind of weird, but when LeBeau coached the Steelers, they just felt like he had all these big guys coming after you. And then I know I've gushed a little bit about Dodd today, but Dodd looks like a big-ass dude, you know what I'm saying? Like, for him to be playing outside backer for us, he looked as big as anybody on the line on film.
No doubt. I think there was actually Paul Kaharsky, if you go back through his feed at some point, they did an analysis of, like, the size and age of, like, every team in the NFL, and I think we were the second biggest team in terms of average weight of players. Now, obviously, that's in a couple of different places, like Derrick Henry is, you know, bigger clearly than any other player in the NFL at the running back position. You know, Andre Johnson is not a small guy, you know, that sort of stuff. But our defensive front is so active and so big that they're literally doing what they said they were going to do. It's exotic, but it's very smash mouth. You know, it's big guys that you're going to hate playing every single week.
We get a couple more pieces on both sides of the ball, and teams are not going to want to play us. They're going to need a mash unit out there, because even with the players we have, you know, I know we had a lot of roster turnover, and I'm really excited. I feel like our rookies, especially today, came up big for us. Henry looked great. Conklin, he had ups and downs, but, you know, he's hanging in there, right? And then Dodd with the sack and really his first NFL action, it is coming together. We grow from this win, and then if our next offseason is as good as the one that we're coming out of now, then we're going to have a lot more fun doing these podcasts next season, August.
And we have two first-round picks next year, one of which might be a top-three pick based upon the L.A. Rams are playing. But
let's
one last point I wanted to make was the fact that this defense, and I think I might have mentioned it earlier, but I want to reiterate the point. We saw last year how much Derrick Morgan means to the defense. Our pass rush dissipated, our ability to stop the run dissipated as soon as he was out. The fact that this defense was able to buck up against a really good offense is not something that people should take for granted. I know it was an ugly win. I know it didn't really look that pretty. This defense is legit, okay? So the offense has a much higher margin for error because this defense is going to be so good.
Yeah, well, if we only – and I know we didn't win Minnesota, but we should have. But if our defense only gives up a touchdown a game, or if we're only having to beat 15 points, which would have won us last week too, then they're absolutely doing their job.
We've given up one touchdown in the past 2 weeks on defense.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, and they missed a couple field goals, but I think the defense only really gave up two field goals. They missed a couple, and one of the field goals wasn't the defense actually bailed their special teams out because of the Patterson return, you know?
Yep.
So I've been really, really impressed, and I'm excited. So I want to do a quick update with kind of other meaningful games since we touched on it a little bit. The Rams somehow beat Seattle 9-3. They still haven't scored a touchdown, but
that's why Jeff Fisher has a job. The entire time he's been with the Rams, they play really, really well against Seattle for whatever reason. And it's so funny because Jeff Fisher's an USC guy. Pete Carroll obviously had his USC days. But he almost, more so than anyone else in the league, he just kind of owns Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
It's almost like us and the Jaguars back in the day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's crazy how as good of a team as Seattle is and as bad as the Rams look. He's got their number somehow. But more important as far as the division, Jacksonville lost to San Diego. Denver beat Indianapolis. Houston won. I'd mentioned that earlier. So we're second in the division now, 1-1. Houston's 2-0. They got New England next the Thursday night football, but New England's down their second-string quarterback. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Their third-string quarterback. It's a, rookie out of NC State or something like that? I mean,
yeah.
However, Bill Belichick is the best coach that has ever existed in the NFL. They're going to find a way to win that game. I promise you. Fuck it.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. Now,
he's
going to
win that
Sunday
game. He's going to win that game with a rookie garbage quarterback and a bunch of little white receivers. And nobody's going to be able to make sense of it at all.
It's amazing how they do that. But I want to see Houston get beat. And I'd really like for us to – when's the last time we were leading in the division, August? I don't think it's happened here. I know we won the week one matchups a couple times, but I don't think we were alone at the top of the AFC South week one either time. But I don't remember. It feels good so far. You know, I'm high after the win. Are you interested in watching the Sunday night football, the Green Bay Minnesota game?
I am a little bit. I want to see what Green Bay's defense has. I don't know. They almost kind of remind me of the Saints. And, they put so much. And, the Colts back in the day, they put so much on their quarterback and on their offense. Can that defense really come through? I'm also really interested to see what Sam Bradford does. Because that guy, clearly is one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of, the amount of money that's been given to him and the amount of picks and that sort of stuff that have been traded for him. But he's not garbage. He will have those times when he absolutely balls out. And if he's able to do that against Green Bay, it's going to be really, really interesting to watch the Vikings.
Well, I don't know if I'll stay up late enough to watch the whole one, but I really want to see Minnesota's defense again against Green Bay, who obviously has the capability of being one of the top offenses in the league, and just kind of use it as a bit of a barometer. And we got to play Green Bay later in the year, so – this is stuff that interests me. And we have Oakland next week, and they lost to Atlanta. So I'm not sure what we're going to get out of Oakland. They barely beat New Orleans last week by Del Rio going for 2 points to win the game and them getting it. That kind of made the news a bit today. I know they were more than happy to show that 5 or 6 times while I was waiting on the Titans game to kick off. So
yeah, my preview for our midweek show, looking at the Raiders, they have more talent than we do. But the question comes down to, is our coaching staff better than theirs? And I think there's an argument to be made that it is.
I hope so. I'm not quite there yet, but I never really had much faith in Del Rio. I kind of liked it when he was down there in Jacksonville. But I think Gus Bradley's kind of in that same kind of mold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a football guy's guy. But I don't know if he's going to put it together for the Jaguars, you know. But Del Rio, Reggie McTogether, a really good roster out there. So I'm definitely not going to overlook the Raiders at all. But we matched up really well against them in the preseason. Take that for it not being worth anything. But, you know, still something. So I'm excited. I'll see if I can't I'll reach out to some Raiders podcasters or news media and see if we can't get another segment with them for our midweek show, August. But I think we've been through anything. Did I miss anything or anything you want to wrap about?
I'll just say the two things. Amy Adams shrunk in the locker room, went up and hugged Andre Johnson and said that his catch was the bomb.
Yeah.
So take that for what you will. You know, I guess we have a little bit of a hip owner, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe that's
what I said. I said she's a hip chick.
Yeah, yeah. You called that out. She's a hip chick. Other thing would be the fine that the NFL, six-figure fine that the NFL levied on the Titans today. We're going to talk about that in the midweek show. Anybody who's been listening to this for a while knows that what my opinions are on that. But, yeah, I honestly feel like the NFL probably levied a fine based upon the fact that the Tennessee Titans are not owned by an old white guy. And we'll go more in depth on that later.
We'll do a little research and have a chance to hash that out with the midweek show. So, August, thanks for joining me. Listeners out there, I want to reiterate how much we appreciate you guys. And if you can please take the time to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Drunkest Drew. August is at AugustWest_MCM. Dan is at DanOnMikeTN. Leave us a review for the podcast. It really helps. And really makes it all worthwhile for us to keep bringing you the content. So coming off a win, which feels so good, and I hope we get several more this season. Oh, yeah, it felt so good, and in a clutch way. So, Titans, we just want some stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Hell, yeah. Marcus Mariota, we got a quarterback. Titan defense is legit. It's going to be a fun season. Everybody stay tuned.